things to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Oh, welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on a2zen.fm, and we archive the programs at the Richard Dugan Radio Shows page. So you've got a lot of opportunities to catch the program. And I will also make note, I cannot guarantee that this will happen every week. But there are some programs that you listen to on this broadcast that actually ran longer, much longer. And those programs are on the archives page. Now, at a2zen.fm, we run 55 minutes, but sometimes we run longer, and so you'll only hear that on the archives page. So if you want to hear what I like to refer to as the after view, following the 50 minutes is what it is the standard length of the program. Then go to the Richard Dugan Radio Show page at richarddugan.com and take a listen. We would love to have you hear the rest of what we were talking about. That's kind of what we do, and it's sort of an incentive for you to go there. Do I have anything there for you to buy, or am I selling anything? Nope, not a thing. It's just for you to listen to, enjoy, as well as to become educated and informed. Today's program is also an exciting program. We are always in the process of moving forward and trying new things. We're in the process of looking at new paradigms, as the slogan says. Well, today, in a manner of speaking, it's the same thing. We're looking at a new form of healing, a new way of, if you will, or maybe an old way. It all depends on how you look at it. If it's something you've never heard of before, yes, it's new, but most of the time it's been around for eons, for millennia, since time began. And what we're going to be talking about today is quantum angel healing. And my guest is has been involved in this for some time. We're going to talk about her book as well, pardon me, which is Quantum Angel Healing, and her name is Eva Marie. Eva, welcome to our program.
Hello, and I'm excited to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me, Richard.
You're very welcome, and we're just glad to have you on the program. I know that one of the things that a lot of people are concerned about, and it seems to be at the top of everyone's list, and that's their health. I know that when I'm not feeling well, whether it's, my ankles or my knees that are hurting me for whatever reason, or I've got the sniffles or sore throat or whatever the conditions may be. And I've been even raising this question too, Eva, and that is on a spiritual level. Maybe I'm not feeling real connected today. There may be some areas there as well. I would just rather get through whatever it is so that I can get back to feeling good again and sort of getting back on purpose. Your purpose is about this quantum angel healing?
Yes.
And how did...
And it wasn't always the case, because I was a busy management top consultant for management in Europe, and that has been in my early 20s, mid-30s, and I was really not concerned about any health issues. I was blessed with good health, a good job, a child. Everything was perfect, a perfect life, until I got really, really sick, and the doctors told me you only have about 4 weeks to live. So health is the most important gift that we have, and especially as a young person, you take that for granted, that everything works, all the miracles in your body work, everything is fine, nothing hurts. That's the gift of youth, you think. You take it for granted. And when I rediscovered, it was not that granted, and I had to do something about it. It was a huge wake-up call for me, and I had to learn that it's not just something that everybody has, and it's something that we need to take care of our own health, of our physical body, our mental body, emotional body. And so I had this wake-up call, and I went in and studied a lot. How could I get better? Natural healing ways, energy healing ways, channeling, all kinds of different modalities. And I studied a lot for many years, and finally found my own healing modality, because no other modality answered the question, why is a person ill or not feeling well? Why? There is a reason for that. So I believe I found the answer, and that's what I do now, and write books about it and help a lot of people teach it. That's in a nutshell, really fast, what happened to me over the last 20 years.
It seems that as individualized as our intellectual needs, our physical needs as far as food and water, even clothing, our individual interests or aspects, let's say even on, you know, going to the superficial level of fashion, it seems as though healing is along the same lines. In other words, there is no one modality. And of course, folks have been teaching the fact that we're all individuals and there is no one formula that's going to cure the common cold, for example, because we're all different. Mm-hmm. It seems as though each one of us, it's imperative for each one of us to find our own healing modality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the modalities can vary, but the principles are the same. So I call it quantum angel healing, because I discovered that there is a principle, and the principle is behind any symptom, be it a cold, a sore throat, or something more severe like cancer. There is a principle behind it. It's an energy pattern that causes the symptom to appear. So no matter what you call the modality, there is a principle, and it's universal. And the information is in our energy bodies. The information, like ingredients that you put in a cake, the ingredients make it taste a certain way. So the information in our body, and I'm talking about negative emotions, frustration, stress, anger, fears, belief systems, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, all kinds of poisonous mixtures come together, and when they come together, they build an energy package, a consciousness that hits the quantum field, a certain divine matrix, and then from this, it's formulated what we call an illness. So that's a universal principle. You just have to understand how that works, and it took me a while, but I got it, and the quantum physicists found out that by doing different studies, they call it the observer effect. Like our thoughts, our emotions, what we feel have an impact on a field and on our physical body, of course, or on our job situation or on a relationship. And what we believe and feel, that will create the outcome. So people talk about the law of attraction, and yes, what we're sending out as a signal, we will attract, but nobody really seems to explain how the signal comes to be what it is. What are we really sending out? So this is what we're looking at quantum angel healing. What is behind that illness? What is behind this relationship, the money situation, whatever you have? What are the ingredients? That's the first step of quantum angel healing. And the second step is to go on a higher field of consciousness, to communicate with the divine spirit, the spiritual internet, to communicate with angels, to really, from a higher level of consciousness, get this information and apply high energy to change this poisonous mixture that causes the symptom, and then the symptom goes away.
Hmm. And this works for virtually every issue that one might be having.
Yes, and that's what you said correctly. There is no one thing that works for everybody. That's, you know, there is not one answer to say, okay, your nose is running and it's because X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. No, you have to go into the field of a person, into the different energy bodies, and identify what is this? Why is the nose running for this person? It's a completely different reason than for another person. And we are very complex. We're multidimensional beings. We're not just the physical flesh. And only if you are understanding of this and able to access what I call the field, the matrix, the spiritual internet, you will find the answers, and then you need to be able to apply the energy to transform that. Because energy is not going away, but you can transform it. And also, like in a computer, when you have a certain software program running, you have to change this old corrupted software if you want your computer to act properly. Mm-hmm. And that is what we're doing, if you want to use those technical terms, to make it easier to be understood.
How much does past life have to do with our current condition? From your mm-hmm. experience, we talk about coming into this world and having all the experiences that we've had for this lifetime, and that's almost enough to create all of the issues that we're dealing with, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, that we want to heal from. But I'm just wondering how much of that we carry over, again, accepting reincarnation, how much we carry over from one lifetime to the next.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit, Richard, quite a bit. So I know that there's a lot of studies out there that prove scientifically that we have multiple incarnations, so we don't need to discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on what is it. We're energy beings, and on our soul level, there are certain information that we're bringing in into this life, The soul is inside the physical body when we're alive, and it has information. It's a field of information. And it is stored in our DNA as well as, therefore, in every cell of our body. And it's vibrating. And through this vibration, certain information is transmitted. So let's say we have... I'll give you an example to make it easier. I have a mother who has a 3-year-old child as a client, and she had to carry the child up the steps to her house all the time because the kid would start screaming the minute she said, please go up the steps. It wouldn't do it. It was screaming, no, Mommy, I can't. You have to carry me. I'm so afraid. I'm panicking and whatnot. So the child was older now, 4 or 5, really too heavy for her to carry. Plus, he had to go to school up the steps. It was a huge problem, and she called me and said, what can I do? And I work with my angels and my guides, had the permission to enter the field of this young boy to look at a past life, asking for the core problem for the symptom. And he was a mountain climber in a past life and slipped and fell down and died. He fell down the mountain. So that was the cause of his death. And this trauma was still stuck as a cellular memory in this boy's, vibrational field. And so by transforming this information, this vibration, within one session, the boy had no more fears, and he was able to run up and down the stairs like nothing ever happened. So this is a typical example where a past life issue carried over in this life and caused a huge problem for the little boy and his family. So, and I find that all the time, that there's information carried over, leaking through from another lifetime. And sometimes we need to transform it in this lifetime where it originated. And sometimes it's in our childhood or whatever, wherever it is. So only if you access the higher level of consciousness, you're able, and that's again the quantum field, to move back and forth in time and space, because time really doesn't exist as the human concept that, you know, we have by looking at our watch.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Eva Maria Mora. She's the author of Quantum Angel Healing, Energy Therapy, and Communication with Angels. I want to talk a little bit about that. People are getting messages all the time, and sometimes they're not really able to identify exactly where the message is coming from, although they have no problem with the message. I mean, they may say, oh, it's coming from my higher self, the inner voice, or God, or the universal power. And I guess, you know, here you have this link, if you will, with angelic beings. How did that come about? It seems as though many healers, they're just tapped in. And it sounds like you are as well, but you have what seems like a sort of an added bonus of having this connection, this communication, conversation with the angels.
Well, it's a nice terminology, an added bonus. I like that. Well, the bonus is actually what the clients are able to receive through my work as a medium between the worlds, as a channel. But what I do, I also am able to teach to others, and we did that over the last decade to hundreds and hundreds of people. It is definitely important, Richard, to know where you get this message from. What are you hearing? Are you just hearing voices? What is this? So you need to be sure, who are you talking to? And that is what I teach in my classes. First of all, to be a clear channel, to be like pure. Like if you pour in a glass of wine or water, you want the cup to be clean, right?
Right.
The same is for an energy channel. Mm-hmm. You don't want some whatever energy stuck in there or attachments. So I teach the people how to be a clear channel, to be connected to the highest source of love, which most people call God, right? Or the source of the universe. And I am very open to any religion, whatever the people have as a culture or religion. I'm very respectful of this. But what we're connecting to is the highest source of love. And I describe it in the book, and I ask the angels, how can I tell people to do this? How can I teach this? And they said to me, share with them the angel breath. And that's what I do. So first we're learning about energy to be a clear channel, and then how to do the angel breath, to be really grounded and to connect with the highest source of love. And once this connection is running and the energy is flowing, you can intentionally connect, for example, to Archangel Michael or Archangel Raphael or another archangel. And we are practicing this in my certification programs, and the people are able to really distinct between the different vibrations, like seeing a color. Maybe they see the blue for Archangel Michael, or they perceive it in a different way, or they feel it more stronger when they connect to Archangel Raphael. It's like meeting a person, meeting somebody, get to know this vibration of an angel or archangel, so they can clearly identify when they do a healing session who they are connected to, where they get the highest source of information. And then you can practice more. It's like you're learning an instrument. First you learn to play the basic notes, the scale, you know. And after a while, when you practice more, and I've been practicing every day for I don't know how many years, then I can play very well all the scales. Like I can connect to nature spirits as well. to the fairies or to unicorns or to trees or plant spirits. There is this consciousness, what I call the one consciousness. And if you are experienced, it's easy to distinguish who are you connecting to through your heart, through the intention, to clearly distinguish that. And I don't know if you want to hear a funny story as well, Richard. Maybe
sure.
You do.
Absolutely. Humor's a good thing around here.
I had this one client coming to me all upset and saying, I can do what you can do, and I can hear voices, and I talk to my husband. He is crossed over. And she was all upset. It's like, what are you so upset about? Well, her husband died early of liver cancer because he was an alcoholic. He was a gambler, and he was drinking, smoking, doing all the things that the doctors tell you not to do. Anyways, when he crossed over, she was able to communicate with his spirit on the other side. And then the husband told her, because she had financial problems, that he would go with her to Vegas and help her to make some money there. So she went, and then she played roulette, and he told her the numbers which would come. And she was so upset, she said, I did exactly what his voice was telling me. I know it was him, and then I lost all the money. And she was so upset about that, and she couldn't understand. So just the assumption, because a person is on the other side now and you're communicating with them, that this person has any form of higher consciousness or being more evolved just because it's not in the physical body anymore, that was her assumption. Of course, that was not the case. He was the same gambler, the same person that was in the physical body than he was in the spirit form. So I explained that to her. Just because you're crossed, it doesn't mean there is a higher level of consciousness. So that's why I also tell the people, it's very important if you want pure information and really the cause for an illness, you need to be able to connect with the God consciousness, with the angels and archangels who have this information, not with your dead husband or your Aunt Susie that you might be able to connect with. That is not the same level of information or quality. So I thought it was kind of funny and entertaining.
I think that is very interesting, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest, Eva Maria Mora, and her book is called Quantum Angel Healing. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're talking with Eva Maria Mora, and we're talking about quantum angel healing and how to go about this process. We ended our last segment together, Eva, about talking about double checking to make sure who you're communicating with. And this raised an interesting question. All right, so you've confirmed that the entity that you're speaking with, the angel in this case, has the sufficient information to give you, help you, to assist you in moving forward, in peeling away the layers of the onion to get to the root cause so that you can then release the dis-ease in your body, mind, soul, spirit. But is there ever a proviso that you would say to a client, if you will, be sure to check with your doctor? Because that seems like that does seem to be a little contrary, but by the same token, you're not an MD. I mean, you have an MBA, but you can't dispense pharmaceuticals, perform surgery, those kinds of things. But you have this information, which obviously
I
is helping
do any
people.
Of that, and I also cannot heal anybody. I make that really, really clear, and I don't make those claims.
Okay.
But I am a channel for basically the divine essence of love, and I'm able to communicate with higher forms of consciousness, which we call angels and archangels. And sometimes I receive the information and they speak with me kind of like in pictures a lot, and also directly. So I'm clairaudient, I'm clairvoyant. I receive this information. And sometimes they say, get your blood work done, okay? Or have this arm x-ray to make sure, or something like that. So I do work together with doctors, and I really want to emphasize that if those wonderful doctors who dedicate their life to help people, and I'm very skilled in what they're doing and they're open-minded, I work together with them. And mostly they send me their clients and say, you know what, this person is therapy resistant. It's just the symptoms are not going away. There must be another a core problem that we can't see,
right,
that we can't identify. There is something, why this medication is not even working on this person. Please help. And I work with a lot of children and parents that don't know what to do, and so I work together with the parents, the children, the doctors, and we are a team, and I'm a part of this as well as God and the angels. So we're together, and it's not either or. It's just being open-minded and working together to be of service and to help the clients as best as we can.
Is this connection always on, always open, or are you able to, I don't want to say turn it off, but maybe at least turn it down so that when you're out in a crowded place with a lot of people, you're not being bombarded by all of this information?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is this possibility, and that's another thing that I teach in my certification programs, because there's a lot of very highly sensitive people that seem to be always on, especially children. Again, they label them ADHD, and they're not. They're just very open, and they mm-hmm. see what's there. They see in the other worlds. They are connected. They can feel what's going on in the energy of a classroom with their students and teachers. So I help them to be able to find a way to turn it on, to turn it off, to protect themselves, to shield their energy, to focus more, and that is very, very important for highly sensitive people. Of course, I would say, probably more sensitive than the average person who has not opened up to that yet. They do have the potential, but not everybody wants to open up to that or at this time will. There's more and more and more people opening up to the other realms, and I'm very happy that you're one of the radio hosts that has the paradigm, the understanding of the new paradigm where more and more people will be open. So when I sleep in a hotel room, for example, I have to make sure that I'm not right next to the electrical room because I cannot sleep. It's just too much energy flowing in through my bed, and I cannot sleep. I have to take some precautions for my instrument, my physical body, my channel, because it is highly sensitive. But I'm able to work grounded on this earth. I'm functioning very well, and I'm not a channel that can only sit in a dark room and say om all day. I'm out there, I'm writing books, I'm giving talks, I travel the world, help people, and I'm my own manager, basically. So I'm functioning very well in both worlds, and this is what's needed in this state of development on Earth, that you have people who can be the bridge in between and function well on Earth and be also connected to the higher realms.
I know that it is not an easy life. I have experienced, not personally, but I've experienced others who exhibit, I the trait, if you will, it's more than just a trait, of being an empath. And in some instances, to their own detriment, they haven't learned how to protect themselves. They want to help these people, but they're overwhelmed. They end up with their own dis-ease, and actually it's not their own. They've taken on this other person.
Mm-hmm. And that is really not helpful for this empath. And there is ways what they can do, tools they can apply and understand how they can still be sensitive and empathic but not take on. This is why I teach this in my classes, because it doesn't help the healer when he sits across the table with a person with a, you know, heart problem or stomach problem, and they feel it in their own body and can't even move themselves. That's not helping any of the two people. So there's ways to raise your vibration high enough so you can sense what's going on, but don't entrain with the pain of somebody else. So there's ways. And luckily, we found those ways, and we're teaching this.
Now, I do believe in the concept, the law of attraction, in that mm-hmm. you're going to attract to you those people who are seeking to free themselves from the various conditions that are holding them back from fulfilling their own personal purpose. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, do you ever find yourself with people who, yeah, they heard about you, and yes, they're interested, but there's a certain level of resistance because they don't really 100% buy into the reality that you can assist them in their healing?
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite believe it.
Yes. I when I work with new clients, I always commend them first on their trust, because they don't know me. They don't know quantum angel healing. They don't know if it works. And it requires some trust, especially if they have been hurt and burned with people who are just taking advantage of their pain. So I have a lot of compassion for people who had to get over a certain amount of, you know, fear that they might have or doubt that they might have, and not really knowing. So it takes that part. It takes that part for me. If I go to a new dentist and I don't know this person, and the last one hurt me quite a bit, it does take that. So trust needs to be earned. You cannot just give it away. That's my philosophy. So I'm grateful that they have this trust to be open for this work. And then I know that they're guided there, because I ask my guides and angels, please only bring these people to me who are ready. I'm not a missionary. I don't want to convince people that angels exist or any of that. I don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people are ready, even if they might be a little cautious. But as soon as they hear what the angels have to say, and that there is no way that this information could be coming from anywhere else than the highest source of love, they're really grateful. They're very happy. They're so relieved. And when they experience the feeling how it is when the angels are working with them on their body and how they feel afterwards, they're so excited and they're so grateful, and that's wonderful. I don't have to be in the same room with the person either. I work 99% over the phone because also of my international teaching schedule. So people are on the phone with me, and they're in the quantum field together with the angels, and the angels work with them where they are. And so from the comfort of their own home, in an environment where they feel good, that works actually the best. And they can rest afterwards, because mm-hmm. sometimes the angels do something like psychic surgery, and they have to remove something that was bothersome and dissolve the poison out of their system. That happens.
Mm. Tell me about the role of Michael Mora.
Mm-hmm. Michael Mora is my wonderful, wonderful husband. And he is trained with shamanic practices. So I actually met him when I came to Arizona on a vision quest to learn about shamanic healing many, many years ago. And so he has training from the earth spirits, from all the shamanic teachings, and we work together. The role that he has in my life, he is supportive of my work, so we are teaching together, and he's also teaching what he developed, his own trainings, his core transformation work. He is doing beautiful work, and so some people even say if they took the class with us together, they want to learn more about the shamanic world that Michael represents. I would say he presents earth and I present heaven, and together heaven and earth works really, really well. And the people feel when they enter the classroom that we actually love each other as husband and wife, and that they enter this bubble of love. And most people hurt so much in the relationship area, so they want to know how they can do this. So we wrote a book together about relationships. We teach classes together about, you know, the new paradigm of relationships, and we are helping people to heal the past and really be who they are and find the divine equal. So there's many more things in my life that Michael plays a role or is important. So he's very important in my life, and I'm in his.
Mm. Well, it's always nice to have somebody there to as a partner to work with and share not only the experiences, but to share that energy, and then in turn, it's sort of doubled up, if you will, and then some, to share with those people that that come to the two of you. Am I correct that we could say that the work that you that you and he do together is along the lines of the Native American traditions, or is it go much, much deeper than that?
Mm-hmm. That is a very interesting question. So I highly respect, honor all the Native American nations and the Native American ways. I also work together with a Native American medicine woman who has tremendous knowledge about plant medicine that will be a new aspect in our work. But the principles, and that was what you said at the beginning of this show, the principles, how the universe works, and how creation works, they were there from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible it says at the beginning it was the breath and the word of God. And with this means the consciousness, what I'm calling the intention, the consciousness, the emotions, the thought forms, this is how creation starts. There is, in the quantum field, there is only energy, and it's not decided yet if it's a particle or a wave. It's pre-creation.
Mm-hmm.
So in this field of pre-creation, it's possible to go back there to change the consciousness, and then the symptom will change. That's what I tried to explain earlier. So the principle that we discovered is as ancient as creation and as the beginning of time. But to bring it to the people in a form that is understandable and that they're ready for to apply in the modern world, that is very new, and that is very unique and different than anything else. And this is what we're bringing in together. In the shamanic ways, people were able to interpret symbols, like symbology, very important language. Mm-hmm. They knew if there's three rabbits in your backyard and a raven flying over your house and two clouds up there, that means this and this,
mm-hmm.
just to give you an example.
Right.
So this is the old tradition of symbology, numerology, that worked already in the Vedic scripts. They refer to that, but that really doesn't help a person who drives a car and is in their house and has a modern lifestyle. So what we're doing together, we're translating also ancient universal principles in a modern form. And we wrote a book. The last book is called Activating Your Divine Power, where we are explaining what does it mean if you have a flat tire? What does it mean if a stone hits your windshield and it cracks in your car? What does it mean if your muffler falls down or whatever? So the environment is talking to us, speaking to us, and it's very fascinating and interesting to understand that. What if the pipes in your house just broke or your toilet is flushed over or whatever? The environment, I'm getting something in my throat here because I'm actually in training into the energy of what does it mean. It means emotional overflow. It always means something. Mm-hmm. There is no coincidences around us.
Right.
So if people have a story, I look at what they're sharing because it all speaks to me, and I'm able to decipher what's going on energetically in their life.
Right.
So this is what we're doing.
We're talking with Eva Maria Mora, and we're talking about her book, Quantum Angel Healing. I know that people have put onto the just about everything that they do in the last 5 or 10 years, Eva, the word quantum.
Mm-hmm.
What was the why was the need to use the word quantum? Why not something else other than that? It seems as though that's sort of a buzzword, even though a paradigm is also sort of a buzzword, which is part of my subtitle. But it best describes it. Is that really what it comes down to, that quantum is the best word to describe what you're talking about? Because I struggle with the concept of physics versus quantum physics. It's as if the word physics wasn't enough for what they were discovering, so they had to add the word quantum. But it's still the same physics.
Well, it actually became a buzzword the last 5 to 8 years or so is when it started. And quantum angel healing was created before that. And in the first chapter of my book, I explain the quantum world and why it works. And that is really important for some people. They want to understand it with their head, why it works. What about the law of attraction, the field of resonance? What about the energies? What about emotional energies? And how does it work? In the second part of my book, I have 70 pages where you can look up all kinds of illnesses, and it describes what the negative emotion behind that is. So in order to understand quantum angel healing, it was important to bring in the knowledge of quantum physics in a very understandable way. And I noticed that more and more people come up with this. Actually, in Europe, where my book, Quantum Angel Healing, was published earlier, like many years ago, let's see, 5 years ago, it started in Europe, and Random House asked me, because they heard about my work, if they could write a book with me together about my work, and I said, okay, let's do that. And so it was brought to me. I never wanted to be an author. It was just I attracted it, and the modality was meant to get out there as quantum angel healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody was talking in Europe about anything quantum at that time. And now I open up magazines for spiritual audiences, and I find the word everywhere, and I kind of like smile to myself.
Yeah.
So it's just a shift of consciousness, very
yeah.
visible, and it's a shift of the paradigm, and that it is what it is. And so you call your show What Is Going On. It's a shift of paradigm, a shift of consciousness.
Yeah.
And you explained it very well. It's the metaphysical world that people are now ready to look at. they did the body, mind, and spirit, body, mind, and spirit expos and what have you, and now they're ready to look way beyond those veils that have been there before and go into to the metaphysical and be open to understand how creation works and that they're the co-creator of their life. And if they don't like what they have in their life, that it's possible to change that. And that's empowerment, to be the co-creator in your life, to be the God energy in your life and not a victim anymore, but be responsible. You can't blame anybody else for what's going on. And there is ways, if you don't like it, again, you can change it, and we can show you how to do that.
But Eva, I've been living this same life for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's never changed. It'll never change, Eva.
What? Your life never changes? I don't believe that.
Not my life, but that's what someone who's listening might say. It's like, there's no way, because I've been in the rat race for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yeah, I'd like it to change, but yeah, just because I like it, I'd like it to change, it hasn't changed.
Okay. Well, it's just like baking a cake. If you take the same ingredients all the time, it probably has the same outcome. Even Einstein said that with the same ideas, you can't resolve the problems that you have in the future if you use the same ingredients. So there's a way to get unstuck. And right now, as you know, Richard, the energies of 2012, what's going on in the world, the frequency of the Earth is way, way higher than it was back in the 50s or in the 80s. And there is a number, it's called the Schumann factor. It was 7.8 in the 50s. It was a frequency, how fast the frequency of the whole planet is. And now it changed over the years, 87 to the harmonic convergence, and then it changed again. We're around 15 now. So everybody can feel, well, time is speeding up, time is speeding up. It's Monday, and now again tomorrow it's Friday. Whoa. So they can feel it. And by the end of the year, we'll be up to around 20. So the frequency is changing, and the energy is raised. And that will rattle everybody's emotions, and it will rattle it up. And things are coming up, and what worked 20 years ago is not working anymore. So if people really want the change, it is there. We're in the middle of it. And for everybody, it will be very, very visible. There is not going to be one person who is not impacted by the new high vibration, the energies. And it's very good if you have the right tools, if you're prepared for that, because those things will come up. The light is shine on all the dark things, all the dark emotions, the dark things that happen behind the scenes. Politicians won't be able to get away with their stuff, and people on an individual basis will not be able to get away with their stuff. The light, the spotlight is on.
Yeah. I heard in a conversation that I was listening to, actually a part of as well, we were talking, of course, about growth. And primarily they were talking about the growth of a city, a town, a village, what have you.
Yeah.
And the people in the given in that given area, they liked the way the town was, say, back in the 70s. It was nice. It was quiet. You know, everybody knew everybody in the town. Even if there were a couple of thousand, maybe 10,000 people, you knew just about everybody. And then new people moved in, and they came along, and they wanted to come in, and they wanted to change it, and they wanted to bring in high-rises and triple the width of the freeway both directions and so on and so on and so on. And, of course, there's only so much room for this particular village to grow. You've got the mountains on one side. You have the ocean on the other. You have other towns on either side. And so you can only go so far out, spreading. Unlike where I'm from, where you are today, Phoenix, Arizona, and here in Scottsdale, where – they can keep spreading just as long and as far as they want and continue to destroy the landscape in the process. But the point of the conversation was that everything stops growing at some point. It will continue to flourish, but it's not going to continue to grow. Consider even the physical body. Even the physical body reaches its maximum height, weight, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to say critical mass. That's a whole nother thing. But then they use the example of a tree. A tree only lives so many years, some for 10, some for 100, some for 1,000. But they only live for so many years, and they only grow to be so high and so wide, and that's it. They don't grow anymore. They flourish. They thrive right where they are. They play their part in nature. And yet our society, Eva, even when it comes to health, when we talk about the economy, when we talk about every aspect in that regard, everybody wants it to keep growing. And I have to wonder, the thought occurred to me after this conversation was over, maybe that's what happened in this past 10-year period. It reached a point where people were trying to force it to grow beyond its capacity to even exist. And I'm speaking of the economy. Mm-hmm. It can only grow so big. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's, and I used to quander that, and I'm just using this as an analogy, but I used to quander, query this in my mind. If every year that I work, I receive a raise in my income, then that means the products or services that I am a part of producing or creating will also go up. So that means the expenses go up. And then the next year I get an increase to be able to afford the products and services that other people make that I need. And then, in other words, the cycle keeps going and going until it's overblown. It's bloated. There's just no way that you can continue down that path. Do you get a sense that maybe that's what's happened to us as a species, that for some reason we have taught ourselves or sold a bill of goods that it must grow no matter what? It must continue to go up, and that we cannot accept flatline or a descent. It must ascend always.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is really, if you look at it for the last couple decades, what happened. And interestingly, I just saw a movie. It's called Growth Buster. I don't know if you have seen that. You probably would like that, where they were really not happy with the growth of the villages and the chains coming in and the restaurant chains and the stores. And they liked their village. It was a very interesting movie, and I like it too. But if you look at it with the glasses that I have on, okay, just picture me as wearing glasses, and I'm wearing the glasses of energy, so I can see energy. And if you look at energy in nature, it's always in wave form. If you look at the ocean, you will see a wave. Mm-hmm. It's going up, it's going down. Mm-hmm. It's up and down. So there is no natural movement where things are only in one direction, always going up and up and up and up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a cycle, and it will go down and then will go up again. That is a natural wave, and that is what's going to happen too. So in the economy, things were going a certain way. The housing market, for example, out here, the prices were going up and up and up and up, and then they were going down. So things are in energy waves, and that is what we do in our life. Just learn to surf the wave and expect things to change, because they will. That's just natural.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you in that regard, is there a way that we can minimize the waves up and down in that? I guess the best example I heard, I like the analogy of the wave, but I heard an analogy of the pendulum. And if you're down at the base of the pendulum, at the bottom, you're swinging crazy. But if you can work your way up to the top of the pendulum, you're hardly moving.
Actually, we can do that. And that would be very good for us to do, especially with our emotions.
Mm.
So once we are in a state of consciousness that you get through meditation or just through a development of consciousness, then no matter what's going on left and right, who is screaming or who is saying what about you or what's going on, it really, really doesn't matter. So you are with your emotions and with your consciousness on the top of the pendulum, and that is a perfect point of balance. So nobody can push our buttons anymore, and that is something that we help people to transform. That if there is pain, let's say another example, if you have a broken arm and there is no cast around it, it's shattered and it's broken and it hurts like hell. If somebody bumps into you, you will be screaming at this person because it hurts so bad. But this person really didn't do much, just bump into you because there were other people on the street or whatever. So for us, it is important. What we can do is heal ourselves, heal our emotions, whatever we carry in our hearts and our system. So if there's little bumps and things, we don't start screaming anymore. We don't have the red buttons anymore that people can push. We don't feel so bad if somebody says, oh, look at you, you're too fat, or you have this and that. We are in a place of balance, contentment, and happiness, and enlightenment and bliss, so at the top of the pendulum. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. This has been fascinating. You have been healing folks. Let me back that up. You haven't been healing anybody. You have
That's
been
right.
You've been facilitating
I've been a conduit for energy.
Others healing of themselves, which is not so fine a distinction. It's pretty clear because, you know, nobody, the doctors don't do it and you don't do it and so forth. We have to seek it out and achieve it ourselves, and you have shown us ways to do that through Quantum Angel Healing and your website, quantumangel.com.
Mm-hmm.
Quantumangel.com is the website, and if folks want to get a hold of you through that website, they can do so.
Thank you again for having me on the show, and I really like the interview a lot, and blessings to you
and all you.
The listeners out there.
I have two more questions for you. Number one, who is Eva Maria Mora?
Eva Maria Mora is the name of a God energy that is currently in a physical body living in Scottsdale most of the time. So that is who I am. I am the power of God for me. So I'm pretty much aware who I am, and that is a part of the God energy, and that is my soul, just like everybody else is a part of the God energy.
And though you may have answered this in numerous different ways throughout the program today, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing?
Show people a way to be empowered and to live as happy and healthy and as much in love as they want to be, and show them the way. If they want that, I can show them the way.
Well, we thank you for sharing your way with us today and this time, and we look forward, as I said before, to having you back on the program in the near future.
I would love that.
Great.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's a pleasure.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we look forward to having you back again next Saturday at this same time, 3 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we're rebroadcast Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific time on a2zen.fm. Until next Saturday at this same time, love to Lal.